a resolution proposing an amendment to the Philadelphia Home Rule Charter to provide for the creation of a Citizens Police Oversight Commission. Councilwoman Brooks?
Aye.
Councilman Dom?
Aye.
Councilwoman Gauthier?
Aye.
In the 6 weeks since the start of social unrest over racial equality, Pennsylvania and Philadelphia lawmakers have passed police reform legislation.
Two-thirds of all members of council having voted in the affirmative, resolution number 200377 has been adopted.
Lawmakers have fast-tracked these bills, but the question remains, how effective will they actually be? I'm Annette John Hall. This is The Watch. First up, Cynthia Fernandez, who covers state politics for Spotlight PA, tells us about legislation passed at the state level. Cynthia, during the George Floyd protests and calls for police reforms, you started thinking about Antoine Rose. Who was Antoine and what happened to him?
Well, Antoine Rose was a 17-year-old from East Pittsburgh, and in June 2018, he was at the time in a car with another person, and he was pulled over because his car happened to match a description of another car that was involved in a drive-by shooting that happened just a few minutes before. And the police officer, Michael Rosfeld, as he put the driver in handcuffs, Antoine Rose and another passenger jumped out and started fleeing. And Rosfeld shot him in the face, elbow, and back.
Cell phone video appears to show Antoine Rose Jr. running from police on Tuesday night.
Rose was shot 3 times and died at a local hospital.
And how did people respond to the death of Antoine Rose?
There was a lot of protests around Pittsburgh. And the officer was charged with criminal homicide, but eventually acquitted. Antoine Rose's family sued the East Pittsburgh Police Department and the officer, and they actually got a $2 million settlement.
We just want justice for my brother at the end of the day, because my mom, she lost her only son. I lost my brother and my best friend. He did not deserve that.
And what we saw happened in the Capitol was that lawmakers, mostly Democrats, began to introduce bills that would reform how policing happens in Pennsylvania. For example, there's one by Chris Rabb.
I represent the 200th legislative district in Philadelphia County.
The bill by Chris Rabb would create a database that would ensure bad officers are not able to jump from job to job, in theory.
It was a bill that would establish a statewide database of law enforcement officers and their personnel files.
So the bill would basically require local police departments to report in an internal and shared database whenever a police officer is reprimanded, whenever they are disciplined for any action. And so a police department would be tasked with checking that database against any new hires. And if they choose to hire a person who has a rap sheet, they would have to release a hiring report to the public that gave their reasoning for hiring that person.
If the database of personnel files are available to prospective employers in law enforcement, they're not going to want to hire rogue cops and other folks with checkered pasts. And no police officer wants to share a squad car with a dirty cop.
So what happened to that bill?
So that bill was introduced shortly after Rose was killed, and it languished in committee for about 1 or 2 years. Before a bill can go and get a full floor vote, it has to be voted in the committee. And these committees are chaired by Republicans. They decide the agenda.
None of our bills were even met with a hearing. No progress whatsoever, despite the aftermath of Antoine Rose's killing. And we were frustrated.
But the landscape has clearly shifted since 2019. Is there more political will for these kinds of bills now?
Yeah, lawmakers saw their constituents taking to the streets, and it created a lot of political pressure and will.
Black Lives Matter! Black Lives Matter!
Black Lives Matter. Yet, unfortunately, we lost too many black lives. And we lost these lives at the hand of police and other individuals who took the law into their own hands.
Around when the protests began, black Democrats blocked the voting session in the House from beginning and took control of the rostrum to demand Republicans consider police reform bills.
We knew that if we took over the rostrum, that literally and figuratively, nothing could happen. Session could not start, bills could not be run, and we would take that time and that space and claim it for justice, claim it for a demand around police accountability.
Today, we will not move. We will not move until we have action on our bills.
And I know some of you are saying, why the heck are they up here? Because we are sick of lip service. We want change.
I'm going to ask my colleagues that are willing, I'm going to ask my colleagues that are able, join with us as we kneel for 8 minutes, 46 seconds. I think we all know what it stands for.
After that demonstration by black lawmakers, police reform bills finally started getting traction in the committees, and several made it out onto the floor.
Within 1 week, our bills were moved through the House and onto the Senate.
Before the General Assembly break for summer, they were able to pass two bills to the governor's desk. One of them is Chris Rabb's police database bill, and another is the bill that would create implicit bias training requirements and mandate yearly use of force instruction. They pass unanimously in the House and the Senate and are awaiting the governor's signature.
So it that does seem like it's a little bit of progress then.
You know, this does what I call basic housekeeping. It tracks personnel as police departments should have been doing and does like a basic check before you hire someone. So it feels like this is something the state should have been doing a long time ago and they're finally getting to do it. And it seems like it's a step forward, but it's also important to know that most of the information in this database would not be released to the public and would not be a public record that we could request. What would be made public is the hiring report. So if a local police department decides to hire an officer that has had issues with misconduct in the past, they would have to release a hiring report that detailed why they chose to hire that person, despite knowing what they know. And so advocates like the ACLU's Elizabeth Randall has said that this would create a black box. Basically, we can't make recommendations if they don't know what's happening or where it's happening.
Without any of this information being public, there's no sense of accountability. And so you could keep all the disciplinary records that you would like, but if you know that no one's ever going to be analyzing it or scrutinizing it, then it doesn't seem to really matter whether you have been cited 15 times for excessive use of force or sexual misconduct. You could have a whole range of issues that really go largely undetected and or not acted upon.
Would a bill like that, could it have possibly prevented Antoine's death?
So there's a lot of mixed messaging around this idea, and a lot of people have said that yes, this would have prevented Rose's death, and we should call this a Rose registry. And you know, Antoine, Rose's mother, is a huge proponent of this bill, and she's traveled everywhere, you know, pushing for this reform because something is better than nothing, right? But Michael Rosfeld's lawyer has said that Michael Rosfeld didn't have issues with misconduct.
So had he jumped from job to job?
No, he didn't. Well, he's been unable to get a job since he shot Rose. But no, he wasn't one of those cops that jumped job to job. So people still don't think that this misconduct registry would have prevented Antoine Rose's death.
So what about the second bill, Cynthia, the implicit bias training bill?
So there's a lot of debate on this. A lot of experts don't think that more training is the answer to this. In fact, MOPEC, the commission that trains local police officers, wrote in a June newsletter that sometimes we fall into the trap of believing mistakes indicate a lack of effective training, but quote, sometimes, despite the training they have received, officers make bad choices. So this is the commission that trains officers saying that training sometimes does not prevent horrible outcomes from happening. So it still remains to be seen if more training is the answer to policing in Pennsylvania.
So, Cynthia, it took the recent uprising to pass a bill that was introduced over a year ago. And even then, you said it's sort of a housekeeping bill. Why do you think the legislature didn't do more?
On the whole, the General Assembly had 6 weeks to pass police reform bills, and they've only been able to pass two toothless mandates before they recessed for summer.
Many of these bills had been sitting in committee. They were written in the aftermath of the Antoine Rose shooting in 2018. If these bills are moving because of the kind of public outcry that we've been seeing, it seems to me that the burden is on the legislators to up the ante in terms of what they are willing to consider.
Republicans control the agenda in the General Assembly. They control which bills are heard. And they have instead of passing police reform bills, they have focused instead on passing reopening bills, which the governor vetoed, or passing bills on how to spend CARES Act money. Basically, this has been low priority for the General Assembly. Despite holding a two-day hearing in the Senate on police reforms, they were only able to progress these handful of bills.
We have to understand that a 320-year institution cannot be overhauled in an election cycle or in one piece of legislation. Even with the abolition of slavery, it didn't go from slavery to equality. We're still not there now.
Well, Cynthia, thanks so much for coming in and explaining these bills to us.
Thank you for having me.
When we come back...
At the time, these were a lot of the reforms that people who've been pushing for reforms have been asking for a long time. And now folks are saying, we need more than that.
Supporting WHYY, Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at pennmedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
This is The Why. I'm Annette John Hall. Next up, WHYY's criminal justice reporter Aaron Mozell recently looked into reforms passed in Philadelphia and what their impact could be. Aaron, we've been talking about bills on the state level, but the Philadelphia City Council has been working on bills with some reforms to its police department, too. What are they?
Last month, the City Council introduced 4 total bills. 2 of those bills were passed before the body broke for summer. One would require new police recruits to live in the city for at least a year before they could be hired by the city. And the other bill would create a new police advisory commission.
I'd like to go through the 2 bills that have passed one by one and talk about how effective they would be. Let's talk about the bill requiring police recruits to live in the city for at least a year before they're hired. What would that change?
Currently, for all city employees, not just police officers, the requirement is that once you're hired, that you live in the city within 6 months of you being hired. Under this bill, that would go away and be replaced by a requirement that you would have to live in the city for at least a year before you would be able to be hired by the city. The idea for police officers specifically is that they would, you know, continue being Philly residents as long as they're patrolling the streets.
It sounds like the idea is having the cops, even before they become cops, live in the city so they know the city
And more importantly, they get to know the people who live in the city who they're going to be policing.
When you talk to supporters of this bill, they say, you know, officers take this oath to protect and serve Philadelphia residents. And so if they're part of that city, they might have more skin in the game, and that in turn can help strengthen police community relations.
Policing in general has been viewed as one that is an occupying force.
This is something that Mark Tyler, who is a pastor, well-known pastor in Philly, brought up to me, where he said, you know, this is important because it does mean more taxpayer dollars if there are more cops living within the city limits. But it is also sort of this larger community impact that this can have.
Philadelphia police officers should send their children to schools next to our children. So that, if nothing else, that ought to also help give them kind of an understanding about the city where they are given the responsibility to police it, and hopefully will give them some kind of better sensitivity.
So, Aaron, how many officers currently live outside the city?
The city has roughly 6,500 sworn police officers. Of that 6,500, about 1,400 officers, or about 20% of the force, currently live outside of the city.
Do we have any evidence that having them live in the city would help?
It doesn't seem that there is a lot of hard evidence. I talked to Charles Gallagher over at LaSalle University, and he told me, you know, it's mostly a symbolic bill more than anything else.
To my knowledge, there is no hard evidence that says that there's any real efficacy about having police officers live in the cities that they police. That said, I mean, there's certainly the idea that living in the city that you serve, you develop facets of cultural competency. You start to see people as your neighbors and not suspects. It comes out of a long line of community policing.
I want to move on to the second bill, which is the establishment of the Citizens Police Oversight Commission. Now, we already have a commission, right, Aaron? So how would this one work?
This new commission, the idea is to create a more powerful entity. That's the hope, at least. For many years, the Police Advisory Commission has been derided for sort of having limited capability to really pack any kind of real punch when it comes to addressing police misconduct. It just hasn't, for example, had a very big budget. And so the hope is to have a more powerful commission.
So I'm guessing that a more powerful commission would be sort of like a more independent office. Who would be on this commission, and how would that be decided?
Those kind of details, like who would staff this new commission, what its budget would be, what kind of duties and powers it would have, those are all still very much to be determined, because the bill council passed really focuses on one thing, and that's, you know, should Philadelphia create a new and permanent police oversight commission, permanent being the key word, because that would require the commission to be written into Philly's home rule charter, essentially the city's constitution. Supporters hope that this new oversight agency will be permanent, independent, and well-funded. Susan Hudson, who leads a national organization of police oversight groups, I talked to her, and she says those are really the most critical components of an effective police watchdog group. Hudson also leads the New Orleans Independent Police Monitor, and so her group investigates complaints of police misconduct, and she said doing both of those things really takes a good budget. And so a couple years ago, she said she hired an outreach director to essentially market her group, to tell people who may be afraid to go to the police that they can file complaints with her group instead. And though it may be, you know, a bit counterintuitive, she said that's led to more people filing complaints.
What I notice is that when I have the funding to have an outreach director full time, the number of complaints just goes up. So last year we had 101 or 102 complaints, where normally we would be between 50 and 70.
Not because there's necessarily more misconduct going on in New Orleans, but because people now know her group exists.
So, Aaron, the steps council has taken haven't gone nearly as far as some protesters wanted. Many of those protesters called for a much more radical approach, like restructuring, defunding, or even abolishing the police. What do these moves by counsel say about their approach on this issue?
Some of this has to do with the timing. And when I mean timing, I mean when these bills were introduced by counsel. At that point, the George Floyd protests were very solidly about railing against police brutality. And later, as we've seen, this movement has evolved to get to a point where, yes, we're still talking about police brutality as being a problem, but we're also now talking about taking a real hard look at what policing looks like in America, including in Philadelphia. You know, what role do police officers play in public safety, and, you know, how much money should they have to realize that goal? It's also worth noting that these were a lot of the reforms that people who've been pushing for reforms have been asking for a long time. And so in some sense, they were what people wanted. And now folks are saying we need more than that. We need more than just this low-hanging fruit.
I don't think these reforms are far enough.
So I talked to Reverend Gregory Holston about all this. He's a longtime civil rights activist in Philly, and he said that, you know, we need more than what's contained within these bills. They're just not going to cut it anymore.
It's a culture that's been nurtured over 100 years that has found impunity in its actions. And until that culture is dismantled, no matter how many rules or regulations you really put in place, you're still going to have that culture driving police officers and teaching police officers things that we found offensive and not really good for our city.
Aaron, thanks as always for talking to us.
Thank you.
Cynthia Fernandez covers state politics for Spotlight PA, and Aaron Mozell is WHYY's criminal justice reporter. The Y is produced by me, Annette John Hall, along with Shai Binyakov, Alex Stern, and Kelsey Hansen, under the editorial direction of Katie Colinari. We had help on this episode from Sabrina Boyd Circa. Hit me up on Twitter at AnnetteJH. Thanks for listening. Be well. We'll talk to you Monday.